Are we that dependable people that we, the song that we just sung this morning? Do we, does God look at us as like, I can depend on you? Or it's like, well, I'm going to have to keep an eye on him because I'm not sure what he's going to do. A lot of good things there shared this morning already. I'd like to just pause and have time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just bow before you this morning again with thanksgiving. We thank you for the blessing that we have of being here, of placing ourselves before the preaching of your word. And Lord, I thank you for the things that were already shared. And I just pray, Lord, that those things could find a place in our hearts and that we could just take those things and apply them, and that you would work those things out in our hearts and lives. I pray also, Lord, for the things that you have laid on my heart. I just pray that you would help us to have ears that can hear, hearts that can receive, and that we could just allow those things to be part of our lives. I pray for the people that are not here this morning. Maybe some are listening in. I just pray, Lord, that you would be with them, that you would bless their hearts and lives. We just want to commit this service to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was preparing to share here this morning, I came across different passages where Jesus was teaching. And it seems like often when Jesus was teaching, there was Pharisees and critics that were sitting among with him, and they were looking for things that they didn't agree with or appreciate. And I came across a verse here in Luke chapter 5, and it's just something for us to ponder and to realize that it really is probably our own hearts if we don't receive something here. In seeing here in chapter 5, verse 17 in Luke, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. God's Spirit was there. Jesus was teaching the people. And if I'm seeing this right here, these people had an opportunity to be healed, to be taught, and to go away and have a relationship with him. And in verse 18 here, we see that behold men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And in if we go down to verse 20 here, we see that Jesus saw these things taking place. And Jesus saw that they wanted to find a difference in this man's life. And in verse 20, it says that he saw their faith, and he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And we see right away here that the scribes and the Pharisees, they picked this apart. And they start reasoning and saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemes? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch, go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." A piece that we can gather from these verses is those that came with faith, looking to find answers, found answers. But we can see here that those that came looking on critically, trying to find fault, that I'm pretty sure that those, unless they had a heart change, they went home empty. But we can see here in verse 17, the power of the Lord was present to heal them, but they didn't receive it. So it's just some words of encouragement that I would like for us to consider as we sit here before the preaching of God's word. Not before me, but before God. And as we take things in, you know, if we're sitting here with hearts that are desiring to receive, desiring to learn, we can be of that group of people. And God is going to be faithful, as he was in these verses. On to my message here. Last time I was up, I was talking about counting the costs of being a believer and what that entails. And I'd like to, as I think about young believers here and some new commitments that were made here, some steps that as a believer that is growing, some things that we want to consider and steps that we often see taking place. And there's one of them that we expect, and that is baptism. You know, we expect a new believer that has just given his life to the Lord and wants to be all in, like Henry was sharing with us this morning. We expect them to follow through with baptism and to make that public, that what happened into their hearts public, and do as God's word teaches us. And another thing that maybe isn't as popular in some settings, but that is being part of a church. And, you know, that takes another step of faith and commitment. And the third thing is biblical accountability, in which I think, in my mind, being part of a church and being accountable to each other goes hand in hand. But we can do, you know, we do see people becoming part of church and they have their names written on plaques, or, you know, they have what they call as their home church. But it is possible to be part of a church, but not to really exercise being accountable. But if we are a healthy believer and all in, I believe that those are things that we're going to strive for. And then the fourth thing that I'd like to just spend a little bit of time on, and that is just sharing some of my experiences in all of that. So, baptism, just some verses that I would like to look at, and I'll turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse verse 26 and 27. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Baptism is for all of those who have confessed Jesus as Lord of their lives. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. From that verse, I believe what we're seeing and hearing here is that prior to baptism, there's something that happens in our hearts. There's that time of counting the cost of where I'm at and where I'm heading and realizing that I need Jesus in my life. I need him to, I need to accept the atonement that what he has done on the cross for my life, and that I am understanding where I am and where I want to be, and so that there's been a change of heart. And then baptism is a sign of obedience, because we see God's word talking about that, and so it's an answer of a good conscience towards God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We see here what we're told to do and the promise that Peter is talking about here is that we, you know, if we follow through with these things, the gift that we're going to get, and that is the Holy Ghost. You know, God will be alive in our lives. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so we realize, you know, very quickly, looking at just a couple of these verses, that it's not, you know, everybody can decide to be baptized, but it's not going to have an effect spiritually on their life unless there's a heart change in their lives. So, you know, it's why we would believe that, you know, it's something we decide as adults. It's a decision that we make. It's a purpose-driven people. In Colossians 2, I just really like verse 12 there. Talks the way there. It talks about, and it just shows what happens. Colossians 2, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And when I think about the mode of baptism, you know, when I look at this verse, I personally prefer immersing, you know, that idea of going down under the water and then coming back up, and it's just a symbol that I can appreciate, and it feels right to me. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you, a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." And as I, as we take a steps of obedience to follow God, and, you know, as we face life, we were reminded this morning that, you know, life isn't all just easy. But what is going to make the difference is when we purpose to have Christ the center of our being. You know, when Christ is the center of our being, we are people of hope. You know, when Christ is our focus, we live, our hearts are hopeful, and we can experience whatever. You know, it can be good things, it can be difficult things, and you know, whether it's good or whether it's hard, if our focus is on Christ, we walk through those things as a hopeful people. The next one, when we look at church membership, and we don't necessarily see that word in Scripture, but I believe that there was churches in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we look at going down to 1 Corinthians 12, going down to verse 12 to 19 here, it talks about the function of the body. "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?" So we get a picture here in these verses that, you know, there's different people, there's different, we all play a part in the body. And if we go down to verse 27 here in this chapter, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." We are members of Christ. And I believe in a local setting, in a local church, we can fulfill these duties and be part of that in the work of the Lord. In Revelations, you know, we read of the seven churches, and I highly doubt that those individuals that it's talking about there, that they were that one person was represented in all seven of those churches, but that they were probably in, you know, obviously maybe it was in different cities, but it's pretty hard to really do a good job in representing ourselves in multiple different places and churches. You know, when we come to church here this morning, I'm guessing that many of us drove past many churches that we, or a few churches, and some of those churches we know nothing about, because we are committed to coming here, and we have a part to play here. And you know, if I had decided that I saw that church and they had a sign, and it's like, you know what, I'm going to stop there and I'm going to preach there this morning, and would have left a hole here. Henry could have decided to, it's like, you know what, I don't see his wife here. It's like, my wife can't be here this morning. I'm not going to come. And so, you know, there was a commitment to coming here because God had a piece for him to do here this morning. And that is true for each one of you here this morning. Some of you came here because all you were called to do is come and just worship the Lord with your hearts, and people hear and see that in your hearts, see that coming out of your heart and life, and it inspires them to do that. You know, we're here because God wants to speak to us from His Word, and so if we choose not to come, if we're not committed to coming to a church, we can easily miss those things. Talking about accountability and being accountable to each other, in Romans chapter 14, you know, when we think about being accountable, it's something that I think our flesh resists. It's not something that we look around for, you know, naturally speaking. It's like, who can I be accountable to? You know, it's something that it's like we tend to shy away from. And so in Romans 14, verse 12, tells us here, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We know that, you know, we know that at some point in time that we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account of our lives, whether good or bad. And in Matthew chapter 12, there it talks about that. In verse 36 and 37, it talks about, you know, even our words, the things that we say, that we're going to give an account for those things. And, you know, it's like when we stop and think about that, it's like, wow, you know, do I really think about that every day, of every hour of my life, you know? And so when we think about that, we're going to give an account, you know, why wouldn't we want to make sure that that meeting with God is going to be something that we don't regret, something that we can stand before God and it's like, I know that I have lived my life the way that God wanted me to live, that I have my sins covered by the blood, and that I haven't been deceived. And you know, most in in the material world, when people care about their things, you know, I'm thinking, I guess one of the areas that I think of is, you know, in manufacturing, something that I'm familiar with is you have people that build things, you have people that do the finish touches, you have people that install doors, you have people that put roofs on, and on the other end, you have a shed that comes out. And if you care about, you know, how it comes out, you hold people accountable of their work. Not to come against them, but you want them to be a good worker. And so if you hold, you know, if you have accountability and at the end of the job, there's a little, in our workplace, we have a little sticker and someone signs off that they inspected the building and they put their name on it and the date that it was built. And so they checked everything out. If there's a problem, you know, you fix it. You don't use that inspection to tear someone apart. That's not the idea, but rather it's to become better. And that's when we think about being accountable to each other in a biblical setting, that's the right way. But man often gets things messed up, and they will, you know, when we aren't doing well ourselves, you know, we find somebody else that's maybe doing a little worse, or find something and we pick them apart and make them look bad. And that's not what God is talking about. People that, you know, just different people here, as I was thinking about that, you know, husbands and wives, if they're wise, they're accountable to each other, you know, to be faithful to each other. Children are called to be accountable to their parents. You know, it talks about employers and employees. It talks about leaders. And, you know, that they're going to give an account. And teachers. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5, you know, it even talks about those people that claim that they're not accountable to anyone, and they've refused to be, you know, to let people speak into their lives to help them find the right way. It says that unbelievers are going to be accountable. In the end, they're going to be accountable for rejecting the truth. There's going to come a day that they're going to have to give an account. And so it doesn't leave anybody out. So when we think about accountability, you know, when we think about the job that we have, the standard that God has for us, what he wants from us. And I think Henry talked about that, you know, God has a plan for my life. And God has a plan for your life. We have a calling. And as we see and understand and we desire to uphold that and be responsible what God has given us, wouldn't we want to do the best job possible? You know, as we build the products that we build, our desire in our workplace is to build nice buildings, quality work, buildings that will last, buildings that will pass the inspection, The builders know that if they don't do their job well, that their accountability partner is going to see if he's doing his job well. When he starts looking, he's like, oh, it's not a big problem, but we're slipping just a little bit here. And so we talk about that. Let's say for a moment that we decided that we didn't need that. You know, it takes too much time. We're going to do away with that for, let's say, 6 months. And how much more we get done. You know, we start finding shortcuts, and nobody's like sees them. Nobody is talking about them. And so we get comfortable in those little things, and they become bigger. You know, that's the blessing of when we exercise of having our lives open and allow people to invite people to speak into our lives, is we can often, little things that we do, maybe we don't see them as such right away. And if we can catch those things and have people share with us and help us when they're just little, they're not ingrained in our hearts and lives. And how easy it is then to make just little adjustments, and we get the results that we want. So the importance of allowing people to speak into our lives. When we think about doing that, you know, there's things that we're going to face if we're not used to doing these things. And we may have to face these things from time to time, even during those, because Satan will try to convince us that we don't want to go down these roads, because he knows that when people are diligently doing these things, he's going to have a really hard time to trip these people up. I think some of the things, you know, as I was pondering that, things that we have to face is fear of losing control of our lives. That's something that Satan will put out there. It's like, well, someone else is going to control your life. He's going to tell you what you can or can't do. And you can't make your own decisions. The other one might be, you know, fear of rejection, fear of not being able to meet someone else's standards. Probably a big one is that we need to overcome, and that is lack of trust towards people. When we think about letting people speak into our lives, and something that we do well in exercising. What happens to us when we are successful and in our lives, you know, we open ourselves to being accountable? It's when it's done God's way, we will see spiritual growth. We will see deepening of friendships. And, you know, it's something that's our enemy tries to tell us that, you know, that's not possible. You know, your friend is going to control you. We become more aware of what is happening in our own lives and in the lives around us as we open our lives up. It helps us to keep our priorities straight. And we find that we have peace. It's a lot easier to be peaceful in struggles when we have someone to share to. And in the end, we find ourselves being blessed with a great support group. And we don't feel alone. You know, that's not where our enemy wants us. Our enemy likes to pull us out, get us alone, start thinking by ourselves, facing our problems by ourselves, walking through our struggles alone. That's where he wants us. But when we combat that and allow people in our lives, you know, we will find as those things grow, we will find these things in our lives, and it will bless us, it will encourage us, and it will also encourage the people around us. And so it makes us a stronger people. Fourth, just thinking about my own life and my journey, and as a young man, I had goals for my life. I wanted to live life my way, and thinking probably back when I was 14, 15 is when it really all, you know, rebellion started setting in for me. And when I turned 17 is when my life, my world was turned upside down, so to speak. Not because of decisions that I made, but because of decisions that my parents made. Did they make bad decisions? No, I think they did what God was asking of them to do. They turned their world upside down. And that world was from leaving one people group, going to another people group. And I grew up as an Amish boy, and my parents, with the decisions that they made, things that were coming at them, realized that they needed to make a change for the Lord. And it brought them out of that setting into another group. Well, I had friends, and I had a life that I was living and that I was enjoying. In spite of the convictions that I was dealing with, it was a life that I wanted. And so I had a choice of staying with my family and going with their decisions, or moving out and going on my own. Well, I decided that I would do something in between. I would go with my parents and family and live that life and adapt some new friends, go to a new church. But behind the scenes, I would still have my old friends and live that life. And I knew those people. I had relationships. It was comfortable. And so I chose to do that. And so as I was living and going to a new church and understanding the teaching, and God got a hold of my heart, and I realized that I needed to make a decision. I needed to let go of that past life and live for the Lord. And it was something that I struggled with, and it was a time that I counted the cost. So as I worked through that, I realized that I wanted to live for God, and I gave my life to the Lord there was a particular meeting that I responded to a call, and I gave my life to the Lord that night. And that night, there was another man that came and gave his life to the Lord. And he told me that the reason he had the courage and decided that he wanted to make that decision is because he saw what I did. And so I was the first step that I took towards the Lord. I was pretty excited. Life was good. I had peace. You know, already there was a person that made a decision for Christ because of a decision that I made. And it was pretty exciting. It wasn't long, and I told my old friends where I was at and where I was headed, and that I wasn't, you know, I was interested in being friends, but I wasn't interested in living the life that we were living together. And so that obviously changed those friends, those friendships mostly went away, and it changed. But I remember, you know, as I quickly I wanted to follow God. I wanted to be part of the church. I wanted to be baptized. And I was excited about those things. And I was baptized. I came part of a church. But some of the disappointments that I had was life was still a struggle. I had habits, and, you know, as I settled in and I realized that, wait a minute, some of these things are still following me. I need to, you know, they didn't just go away, and it felt like they just all went away. My sins were forgiven. I was free. I was living a new life, and it was all good and exciting. But there was a time down the road that I found myself stumbling because I wasn't prepared for the battles that were coming. And those were some hard times. And for a while, I was part of a church, but I chose not to be accountable because Satan had convinced me that the struggles, you know, this isn't normal. You shouldn't be, you know, you gave your life to the Lord and now you're angry and you're dealing with these things. And so I had withdrawn and was fighting these battles on my own. But when I finally found people and realized that what the church is for and what my friends are for, and was able to talk and share and have people pray for me, and that is when, you know, that is when I really benefited from what we call being part of a church. That's what part of a church is for. So those were some of my early, you know, my early experiences. And, you know, as life goes on, those are things that we have to stay current with. It's not a once and done deal. You know, we come up against things that we have to deal with. In moving, you know, moving to Maine, I think about that, and it's like, well, that wasn't, it felt like that was what I was supposed to do, and I had to give those things to the Lord, and there was more, you know. God takes us one step at a time, and he's never done with us. He keeps working on us. I remember probably another big one for me was when I realized that God was calling me into the ministry. That was, and I knew that was happening before it took place. And that was a battle that I obviously had to fight. And I resisted that for a time. And it's amazing how, you know, God is faithful. He works those things out in our lives. But when I realized, finally came to my senses and realized what I was dealing with and what I was facing, was when I got a postcard in the mail from a pastor that said, "I'm praying for you." And it was from a church in Western Maine. And I was like, what is, I knew right away what that was all about. And so one day I called him up and I said, "Why did you send that card to me?" And he said, "It's a ministry that we do here. And your name came across my desk." And he said, "That's all I know." And I was like, well, you know, God cares about each one of us individually. And when we seek him, and when we go through struggles, you know, when there are things that we don't want to face, if our heart is towards him, he will get our attention. And so for each one of us, but especially for those young people that are starting your walk with the Lord, you have counted the cost, and don't let go of that. Remember that. And don't let go of the church and let go of the people around you. Don't try to do it alone. God wants to speak to you through his people. But Satan, he wants to pull you out. He wants you to be alone. He wants you to fight those battles alone. Because he knows that if you go down those roads, that there's battles that he can win when you're alone. So take courage. May God bless you.